Today's Shir is Masechta Me'ila Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis on the days, the last words of the Amid, the Mishnah. It says, Amish to call a royal Mizbeach. Any type of item which is usable for the Mizbeach, the loyal by the Kabbayis, and not for the Kabbayis. And as most Rishonim explain, what the Mishnah here means is a healthy animal. That we know that the halacha is that if somebody has a healthy animal, it should be only used for the to be brought as a carbon. It should not be used for beder kabayis. There is a machlokes rishonim. If this din that an animal that can be used for a mizbeach should not be used for beder kabayis, only applies to animals, or does it apply to birds as well? Is the din that something that could be used for Mizbeach may not be used for something else, may not be used for Beder Kabayis, also by birds, or only by animals? For Kol, Lebeder Kabayis Loyal Mizbeach, then there are many items that are only usable for the Beder Kabayis and not for the Mizbeach. Obviously for the Mizbeach, we only use animals, so if something is not an animal, but it's a material that can be used for building, so it's good for the Beder Kabayis and not for the Mizbeach. And then, as the Mishnah will soon illustrate, we have different items that are loyal Mizbeach, loyal Beder Kabayis, that cannot be used not for the Mizbeach nor for the Beder Kabayis. Teaches us the Mishnah that by all of these different types of items, the halacha is Mayalim Boy, they are still subject to Mila. And as the Mefarshim explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that the Mishnah is going in a order that certainly something that's roi for the Mizbeach and it therefore has a Kedushas Haguf is subject to Mila, but then the Mishnah continues to say that even something that only has Kedushas by the Kabayis, which is a lower level of Kedusha, is subject to Mila. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that even something that doesn't have not Kedushas Mizbeach nor Kedushas Beder Kabayis are also subject to Mila. That's the Pashat Pshat of the Mishnah. There are Mefarshim that suggest that the Pshat in the Mishnah is that if we took an item which should be used for the Mizbeach and instead of using it for the Mizbeach, being Magdish for the Mizbeach, we were magdish for the Beder Kabayis. We took something which should have been, the Hegdish should have been for Beder Kabayis, and he was magdish for the Mizbeach. Or we take an item that is not really fit, not for the Beder Kabayis, nor for the Mizbeach, and somebody made that type of Kedusha on those items. So obviously what the person has done in all of these situations is that he has made an inappropriate Hegdish. The Mishnah is still teaching us that that doesn't change the halacha, that they remain subject to Mila. And the Mishnah continues, Ketzad. And the Mishnah gives examples. Higdish bar melamayim. If somebody was magdish, a bar full of water. And as the Rishonim explained, this is a situation where something can be used for Beder Kabayis, but not for Mizbeach. Because the halacha is that the water that they used for Nisach HaMayim, they had to use water that was Mayim Chayim. And this clearly, this water is clearly not Mayim Chayim. Furthermore, the water that they used to wash the animals before they would use them as a carbon, there was a special canal of water in the Azara that the water came from to do so. So that too is not the water that too cannot be what this water is used for. What is the water that we're speaking about used for? The water that's used for is that they needed to build, they needed to mix cement, and this is the water that they used to mix that cement, and therefore this is an example of something that has in it Kedushas Beder Kabayis, but doesn't have in it Kedushas Mizbeach. Ashbois Meloi Zevel. or a dump full of manure. So here, explain most Rishonim, that this is a situation that of an item that doesn't have in it not Kedushas Mizbeach, certainly. There's nothing in an ashpa with manure, with zevel, that could be used for Mizbeach, but really there's nothing that could be done with that even for Kedushas, even for the Mizbeach, for the Bedek HaBayis either, because it's inappropriate that an item like this should be used for Bedek HaBayis. And therefore, they explain that this is an example of something that doesn't have in it not Kedushas Mizbeach, nor Kedushas Bedek HaBayis either. Shaivach Mala Yoyim, if you have a nest full of birds. So here, the way most Rishonim explain, this is a situation of something that has in a Kedushas Mizbeach, but doesn't have in it Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. The Kedushas Mizbeach is because the birds can be used as kabbonis. And as we quoted Rishonim earlier, not only can they be used as kabbonis, it may be that they must be used as kabbonis. The nest, however, does not have in it Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. The nest itself, the wood itself, explained the Mefarshim, would not be used for, the wood themselves would not be used for the Mizbeach. So I saw a number of explanations as to why not. One explanation is that these pieces of wood are very thin twigs, and these are not the kind of wood that one would use on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explain that this wood is much more valuable as a nest than to be dismantled. And therefore, nobody would take the nest and break it up in order to use the wood. And therefore, this is a situation of Kedushas Mizbeach, but not Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Ilan Malei Peiros is a tree full of fruit. So here, too, there's a machloikis, how to understand what category this falls into. Many Rishonim say that this is a category of Kedushas Mizbeach, but not Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Kedushas Mizbeach, because we're talking about grapes, well, we know that wine is used for Nisach Hayayin, which is so very often brought along with Karbonis, or even brought, as we've learned many times, independently. And therefore, it's a Kedushas Mizbeach, but it doesn't have Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, because here too, nobody's going to tear down a tree to use the wood. It's much more valuable standing whole than being cut down, and therefore it doesn't represent a situation of Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. There are other Rishonim that say that the reason this is considered that it has in a Kedushas Mizbeach, because it, the Shivas Haminim, there are the Shivas Haminim that are used for Bikurim, and that is something that's considered Kedushas Mizbeach. Rishonim debate this point, because we know that the Bikurim were not actually given to the Mizbeach. They were given to the Kayin. So how do we consider this Kedushas Mizbeach? And that's why many Rishonim say that it should not be considered Kedushas Mizbeach. There are Rishonim that say, since the halacha by Bikurim is V'nachtom L'fnei Hashem Elokecha, that the Bikurim should be deposited before the Mizbeach, even though they're ultimately given to the Kayin, that's why they consider it something that has Kedushas Mizbeach. But there's a third shot that says that a tree full of fruit is in the category of something that doesn't have none in it Kedushas Mizbeach, nor Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, as we explained, because it's not put on, we don't take down the tree itself to give to the Mizbeach to be used as wood. And it doesn't have Kedushas Mizbeach because the Torah says, Ki chol sar v'chol dvash lo yisak tiri menu ish el Hashem. And therefore one should not use for a car, one should not bring, the Torah is teaching us in that pasuk, that one should not bring any fruit to the Mizbeach. And therefore, this is a case of something that doesn't have neither Kedushas Mizbeach nor Kedushas Bedek Habat, nor Kedushas Bedek Habayis. Yet, Sodim Olia, Sovim, a field full of grass, again, there's no use not for Kedushas Mizbeach, nor for Kedushas Bedek Habayis. So this is a category. This is in the category of something that doesn't have a Kedushas Mizbeach or Kedushas Bedek Habayis. And all of these halachas, even though the various categories that we just described, the halacha is Me'alam Behem, there is Mila in them, or Mash B'Toichem, or what they contain. Although Tosfos says, as we've learned, and we'll learn even in today's shir, the halacha is that there is no Me'ila by something which is mechubal karka, and therefore if somebody takes the water out of a pit, that would not be considered mila. The case of mila by a pit, says Tosfos, is a situation where somebody would have taken the water, taken the earth out of the pit. That is a situation of mila. Continues the Mishnah, avam hikdish bar. If somebody was first magdish abor, vakach nesmalamayim, and then it fills up with water, ashba vakach nesmalazevel, or a dump that afterwards got full of zevel, shovach vakach molayoinim, or the nest afterwards birds came into it, ilon vakach nesmalapiris, or a tree that had fruit come grow on it later, sod vakach nesmalasovim, or a field that got full of grass afterwards. In all of these situations, Mayalam Behem, in the actual item, there is Me'ila. However, Ve'eim Ma'alam Bash V'toychoy, there is no Me'ila in what grew afterwards. Why? Because it is the opinion of the Chachamim that Ein Me'ila B'gdulei Hegdish. What grows from Hegdish afterwards is not subject to Mila. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Hamagdish is a sod of a ilam, the son is magdish a sod and its tree, Ma'alam Mam Bugdulayam, that there is Mila Bugdulay Meshain Gdulay Hegdish. So Mefarshim asked that at the end of our previous year we learned the Mishnah that said that there's Mi'ila by the eggs and by the milk. Aren't those examples of Gdulay Hegdish? So one teretz that's given is that obviously that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Another teretz is that when do we have a machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon regarding Gedulei Hegdish? Their machloikis is only by something that we were magdish, and after we magdish, there were gedulim. Things grew, the grass grew, or the fruit grew. But if when we were magdish something, the gedulim were there already, the milk was already in the animal when we were magdish the animal, the eggs were already in the chicken when we were magdish the chicken, even the chacham will agree that they are hegdish, that there should be din of mila. And that's what the previous Mishnah was referring to. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even Rabbi Yossi, that has this stricter opinion and says that Gedulei Hegdish do have Hegdish, he's only speaking about these cases, about the tree and the field. But something like the bar or the ashpa, where the Gedulim don't grow from the actual Hegdish, they come from the outside, water comes into the pit, or zevel comes into the ashpa, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that they are not subject to mila. But Tosfos asks that even according to the Rabbanon, who say that there is no mila by Gedulei Hegdish, ask Tosfos, but there still ought to be a din that they're Hegdish because they are in the chotzer of Hegdish. And we have learned, and many times we've learned this halacha, that the din is that something that's in the chotzer of something else, something that's in the physical chotzer of another item, becomes kaidish because the chotzer is kaina. So why over here aren't they hegdish because of the chotzer?
So Taisa says two terutzim. One terutz Taisa says is that ein yad lahagdish, that the din that a chatzur is kaina is only because of the din of chatzur is kaina is only because of yad, because the chatzur is considered an extension of my yad, and that wasn't said by hagdish. Another teretz that Taisus says that the only time there's a din on me'ilah, says Taisus, is when something is kaidish because I was magdishit. But if something is not kaidish because I was magdishit, if something is kaidish because it became automatically kaidish, the examples are the case that we're learning in Agamaro, where it came into the chatzar hagdish, that's why it's kaidish, says Taisus. There we don't say the concept of chatzar is kaina. And as the Mefarshim point out, there's a very big nafkamina lahalocha between these two terutzim that Taisus just suggested. The nafkamina would be that let's say something was found in a Beis HaKnesses. Something was found in a shul. The question that comes up is that item subject, would that item be subject to Me'ilah? Would the Chatzar, would the Beis HaKnesses be kainit? And that if I find it on the floor of the shul, is it the shul's or is it mine? If we say the first parrots, that ain't Chatzar lahegdish, that by hegdish the concept of Chatzar does not apply, so if something is found in the Chatzar of a shul, it doesn't automatically become the Beis HaKnesses, and I pick it up, it will be mine. If, however, we say that this is a special rule when we speak about Me'ilah, that Me'ilah only applies when I was Magdashit, and if I wasn't Magdashit, the din of Me'ilah will not apply. If I wasn't Magdashit, the din of Me'ilah will not apply. So that's a din by Me'ilah. Everywhere else, of course, there's a din of Chatzar by Hegdish, and therefore something found in the Beis HaKnesses will certainly belong to the Beis HaKnesses and not to the person who found it. Actually, this site suggests that even if we follow the first opinion, that Ein Chatzar, that is only by a Beis HaMikdash, Ein Chatzar LaHegdash, that's only a din by the Beis HaMikdash, but a Beis HaKnesses has a different din, and that there the halacha is that it's considered, there it's considered like private property, and it becomes the Beis HaKnesses and does not belong to the person that found it. But then Rav Chaim Oizer in the Shalos Tshuvos Achiezer asks a different question. He's saying, if the according to the second teretz that we've quoted, that the only time the din of Me'ilah applies is when I was magdish something, but if I wasn't magdishit, then the din of Me'ilah does not apply, asks Rav Chaim Oizer, so why is a Bechar, an animal, the Bechar, subject to the din of Me'ilah? All other animals, indeed, we're magdish the animal. But by Bechar, it becomes Kaddish from when it's born. And if we're saying now, anything that's Kaddish by itself is not subject to Me'ilah, so why are Bechar subject to Me'ilah? So he says two terutzim. One terutz he says is that Bechar is Kachim Kalim. And we learned that Kachim Kalim becomes subject to Me'ilah after the Zrikas Adam. So he says that the Zrikas Adam of the Bechor is equal to being Magdish something Bepeh. And just like we're saying now, when we're Magdish something Bepeh becomes subject to Me'ilah, so too when we do the Zrikas Adam on the Bechor, does it become subject to Me'ilah? That's one teretz he suggests. Another teretz he says is that this point that the Rishonim are trying to make, that something that has, that something has to have to, we have to be Magdishit in order that it should become subject to Me'ilah, was only said by something that has in it Kedushas by the Kabbayis, the example that the Mishnah are now speaking about. But something that has in it Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas Mizbeach, there is no such halacha. They become subject to Me'ilah even without the Kedushas Peh. And since the Bechor obviously is an example of Kedushas Mizbeach, it does not require the Kedushas Peh to be subject to Me'ilah.
continues the Mishnah, Vlad Hamuseres Lo Yonik Min Hamuseres.
We have here a situation where a baby was born to an animal, and after the baby was born to the animal, the mother was designated as a miser animal. So once the mother is a miser animal, its baby may not nurse from it. But, says the Mishnah, v'cheir misnavim kein. And we have here machlokes rishonim how to understand what this means. Rashi explains that what this means is that when one was magdish the mother, he made a tenai, he made a stipulation that even though the mother is hegdish, it still should be allowed to be used to nurse its child. The halacha will be that tenai is valid, and the child can continue nursing from its mother. Why? How could such a tenai be effective? So Rashi explains that since one has the option, one has an option of delaying doing the Meiser Behema procedure, so since one has the option of delaying that procedure, he has also the right to make a tenai on the Kedusha of the mother. Many Rishonim disagree with that pshat, that you can't make a tenai in the Kedusha, it's Kaddish, you can't make a tenai, and they therefore explain that Cheir Misnadvin Kei means that what they would do is have other people donate nursing animals to nurse the baby of this mother who became Hegdish, that cannot anymore be used to nurse, so if it's now Hegdish, so other people will donate their nursing animals for that purpose. The Masham uses this Mishnah, the first pshat that we said, to teach us an interesting halacha. The question the Masham discusses is that if somebody brought fruit and vegetables that are tevel, that trumas and maestras were not removed from, does one have an obligation to immediately remove the trumas and maestras? Or does the obligation to remove the trumas and maestras only come when you actually want to eat the fruit? So from this Mishnah, the Masham says that the pshat that we just learned regarding the maaser behema, that the Mishnah said is that I have a right to delay taking off the maaser behema, it's clearly an indication that there's no obligation to do so immediately. Actually, the way the Achronim explain the question is a very interesting question. Food, produce which is tevel, what is the issue of it being tevel? Is the issue of tevel because in tevel there is a mixture of trumas and maestras, or is the issue a separate issue that the tevel is tevel? What's the nafkamina? If the issue is because it has in the trumas and maestras, so there's a din about the acher that one should not delay giving his trumas and maestras, and therefore one should immediately take off the truma and maestra from the tevel. If, however, it's a separate new isser that food that's tevel may not be eaten, but it doesn't represent an isser because there's truma and maaser mixed into that tevel, so then there's not necessarily an obligation to remove the trumas and maaseres immediately. It's interesting to note that I saw that the Chazon Ish was very careful that whenever fruits or vegetables were brought to his house, the trumas and maaseres needed to be removed. He would remove the trumas and maaseres immediately. Similarly, says the Mishnah, Vlad HaMukdashim, Lo Yonik Min HaMukdashim, the child of a carbon should not nurse from its mother. And here too we have the same machloikas. Doesn't mean that if you make a tenai, then it's mutter. That's one pshat. And the other pshat is that other people would donate mothers to nurse, donate nursing animals to nurse these children. Interesting machloikas rishonim. What would be the halacha if the child is also hegdish? May a child that's hegdish nurse from a mother that's hegdish? The Rambam's opinion is that even if the child is hegdish, it may not nurse from a carbon. The Ravid the Ravid says that if somebody wants to, however, donate a nursing mother to nurse these behemoths, he has to be careful to not be magdish the mother. Because if you'll be magdish the nursing animal, then you'll always come back to the same problem. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that even if you're donating the nursing mother, the halacha is you can be magdish the mother. And the way that Karen Oyer explains the machlokes is what kind of kedusha does the animal that's donated to nurse have? Does it have kedushas beder kabayis? And if it has kedushas beder kabayis, it can be used to feed animals of hegdish. But if it has kedushas of mizbeach, then it should not be used. Continues the Mishnah. The halacha is, the Torah says, kisava b'kerem ra'acha v'chalta anovim k'nafshecha. Then the Torah says that when a person is working in a field, we have to let him eat, laborers may be allowed to eat from the field whatever grows in the field. Says the Mishnah, however, ha'pe'alim lo'yoychul min groigris hegdish. Workers are working in a field of hegdish, may not eat the fruit. And there's a din in the Torah also of loisachsum shor b'dishoy, teaches us the Mishnah, that which means that when an animal is working in a field, you may not muzzle it. Says the Mishnah, v'kein para loisoich makashina hegdish, if an animal is working in the field of a hegdish, it may be muzzled. It should not eat the produce that belongs to hegdish. Begins the Gemara. We learned just now in the Mishnah that k'tani v'lada musaris loyina k'mana musaris. The child of an animal which is hegdish should not nurse from its mother, which is hegdish. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this then? Says the Gemara, Omer avakdumi bar ami, asya havar avar m'bechor. We learn agzeri shava from bechor. Ma bechor, as we explained in the Mishnah, a bechor is subject to mila. Now when we speak about bechor, all of the bechor is subject to mila. All the bechor is subject to mila because a bechor is a male. There is no nursing from a bechor, and therefore all of the animals subject to meila. So we learn agzeri shava that so too is the din by vlada musaris af chalva musaris me'alamba. All of the animal is subject to meila. So of course the obvious question to ask is the chidaron efshar mishi efshar. A bechor, as we just said, is a male. So male doesn't have any milk to nurse. But an animal that has milk to nurse, maybe there is no prohibition to nurse from such a mother. So the Gemara answers that even though normally ain't done an efshar mishi efshar, but here, it's a taisus actually, but here where it's a gzer shava that's mufna, the word havara appears by bechor, and it appears by Maisa Behema, and those words are superfluous. On such Gzeres Shava, we don't ask questions, and we don't apply the concept of Don Efshim, Ain Don Efshim Ishi Efshar. Ask the Gemara, so now we've connected the din of Vlad HaMuseris in the Bechor. But ask the Gemara, Chol of HaMukdashim Nami, how do we know that that's the halacha by the milk of Kachim? Answers the Gemara, Asya Ima Ima Bechor. The Torah says by Bechor, and by Kachim it says, Shara Kasava Ais Kivalid Vahoya Shivas Yavim Takas Imoi Umayoim Hashmini Vahola Yiratza. So we learn Agzerish Shava connecting these two halachas. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hapayalam La Yachlu, that if workers are working on a field belonging to Hegdish, they cannot eat from the fruit. And if animals work on such a field, so too may they not eat from the fruit of the field belonging to Hegdish. Ask the Gemara my Tama. And we have here a Machlokes Rishonim. What does the Gemara mean to ask with this question?
Rashi says that the Gemara's question is regarding animals. It's not regarding workers. Tosfos says that the Gemara's question is both regarding animals and workers. Why is the halacha that normally animals and workers may not eat from the field not applicable by Hekdesh? Why does Rashi say that the Gemara is only asking by animals and not by workers? So Mefarshim explain, the reason why workers are allowed to eat from the fruit on the field that they are working, and the reason that animals are allowed to eat from that field, are very different reasons. The reason workers are allowed to eat is because it's considered part of their benefit package. Part of their benefit package is that they get to eat from the fruit on the field that they're working. And therefore, according to Rashi at least, it's very understandable that Hekdesh doesn't offer such a benefit. But the reason that animals get to eat from the field is not because of a benefit package. Animals don't get a salary. The reason that the animals eat from the Hekdesh is because of Tzar Bal Chaim, a concern for Tzar Bal Chaim. And the concern for Tzar Bal Chaim is only by, and therefore, if the concern for Tzar Bal Chaim, the Gemara's question is very understandable. Why are we only concerned for Tzar Bal Chaim? Why are we not concerned for Tzar Bal Chaim by animals, just like by Hekdesh, like we are everywhere else? And therefore, Rashi's position that the Gemara's focus is on Hekdesh and animals is very understandable. So again, ask the Gemara, my Tamil, what's the reason? Answers that it doesn't apply by animals when they're working in the field of Hekdesh. Answers the Gemara, Amar v'chtumi bar ami, dama kro, v'lechsachs m'shar b'dishoy, dishoy shaloch, v'lo dishoy shal Hekdesh. The Torah specifies that this din is only by privately owned field, not by field belonging to Hekdesh. According to Tosfos, that the Gemara's question wasn't only on animals, but that the Gemara's question was also by workers, how is the question answered? So Tosfos says, because what the Gemara means to say is that we compare the chaysim to the nechsem, the animal to its manager. And if we're saying now by the animal, there is no din that it gets to eat from a field owned by Hekdesh, so too will be the din on the person working on the field. Says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Hadosh klilim b'stei Hekdesh. If somebody threshes beans in a Hekdesh field, mal he was over mila. Ask the Gemara, v'amitalish binan, isn't that locha that there's only mila on something disconnected? And these beans, when you're threshing them, they're still connected to the field. So why is there mi'ila? Answers the Gemara, Amar vina, shmamina, afgamalale. There's dust that accumulates on the bean. The dust is not mechubal karka. And that dust is also very beneficial. And that is where there's the mi'ila, because that's something which is not connected to the ground. Says the Mishnah, shor she'ilan shel hedyet, habon b'shel hekdesh. If there's a tree that grows in a field owned by a private individual and it spreads into a hekdesh field, or vice versa, shel hekdesh shabon shel hedyet, there's a tree that starts off in a hekdesh field that grows into a hedyet field, lo nenen v'lo malon. You're not allowed to have a nor from this tree, but there is no mi'ila if you do. So the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chav Vav Mabez, asks that it seems that the Reisha and the Sefer contradicted to each other. From the Reisha, it seems that we follow the place where the tree grows. And therefore, since the Sharsha Ilan come from a hedget, that's why they're not subject to Mila. On the other hand, the next case seems to indicate that we look at where the roots are currently. And therefore, if the roots started from a Hekdesh tree, but now they are in a hedget field, they're not subject to Mila. So isn't this a contradiction? Why do I follow
Do I follow the place that they come from, or do I follow the place where they actually are? So the Gemara there quotes Ravina, who says as follows. If the roots are within 16 amos of the tree, then they're connected to the tree. And therefore, in the resh, in the first case, the roots that are emanating from a tree of a hedget are still within 16 amos of the tree, and that's why they're not subject to Mila. When, however, the roots are more than 16 amos away from the tree, then they're not connected to the tree. And the next case represents indeed a case where the tree is a hegdish tree, but the roots are so far away, they're more than 16 amos away from the tree, and since they're more than 16 amos away from the tree, they're not subject to Mila. And as Tosfos over there explains, even though normally we try to explain Mishnayos in the same way, here we're saying that the Reisha is speaking about a case when they're within 16 amos, and the Sefer is speaking about a case where they're outside 16 amos. We want, because the Mishnah, says Tosfos, wants to come up with scenarios where there's never going to be Mila. Another pshat is that the Mishnah wants to teach us that even though in both of these cases, as we just described, there is no Mi'ila, but there is a problem of Loi Nehenim, and since there's no Loi Nehenim, that's how the Mishnah wants to say that in both of these cases, the din of Loi Nehenim will apply. But then I saw the Mefarshim ask, that why should there be a Havamina that these trees are subject to Mi'ila? Why is this not considered a situation of Zev Zagorim? The tree is growing because of a combination of the Hegdish and the Hegit. And we always say that Zev Zagorim is Mutter. So based on this question, the Mefarshim say that we see from here that we don't say Zev Zagorim Behegdish. The simple pshat is because the entire din of Zev Zagorim is based on Bittel Beroiv, and Bittel Beroiv we don't say by Hegdish. It's only by Issava Heter, not by Hegdish. Or the ownership of Hegdish is considered such a significant ownership that it can never be bottled, and therefore we don't say Zev Zagorim. Continues the Mishnah. If you have a spring that is coming out, and here too we have a machlokes rishonim, how to understand the Mishnah. Rashi's girsa seems to be not that she yotze mitoich, but it's talking about bitoich, that it's going through the field of Hegdish. Menayim shiyoyitz b'toich Hegdish loy nenim v'loy malim yotz l'chutz l'sada, and when it goes outside of the field, then not only is there no issa mila, but even nenim. However, other Rishonim, especially because of the word mitoich, say that the pshat in the Mishnah is that we're speaking here that it emanates from Hegdish. Because it seems that according to Rashi, were the Mayon to emanate from Hegdash, that it would always be us to have a Noah from that Mayon. These Rishonim, the Rambam learns, that even if it emanates from Hegdash, but it travels through an area which is not Hegdash, then it will not be subject to Mila. On Sukkot, they would do Nisach HaMayon. Nisach HaMayim means that they would pour water on the Mizbeach every day. One of the days of Sukkot always is going to be the Shabbos. And the problem is, the way they normally did Nisach HaMayim is that they brought water from the Shiloyach to the Beis HaMikdash for the Nisach HaMayim. Here we have a real issue on Shabbos. They can't go bring the water on Shabbos from the Shiloyach, because that would involve carrying. On the other hand, to put the water into a kli sharis on Friday to have prepared for Shabbos also represents an issue because it becomes possible with lino. And therefore, even though normally they put the water into a flask of Hegdish, here they didn't put it into a flask of Hegdish. They would put it into a special gold container on Friday and only put it into the flask of Hegdish on Shabbos when they needed it for the Nisach HaMayim. The Mefarshim ask that even if it were put into a Kli Shoris, why would be a problem? The halacha is that Kli Shoris are only Mekadosh Midas. So if there is no Das to make the water put into the Kli Shoris Kodesh, it should not become Kodesh. So the Rabbi Zalman answers that it's inappropriate to put water into Kli Shoris with that intention. To use it, to put water into a Kli Shoris and use the Kli Shoris as a container and not be there to be Mekadosh the water is not respectful and therefore is inappropriate. But the Stipler says a different terms. The Stipler explains that maybe it wouldn't be subject to Me'ilah, but it would be if you put it into the Kli Shoris with that type of a stipulation. But it will still have the disqualification of Lina. And in order to avoid the disqualification of Lina, we had to put it into a Keli, which wasn't a Kli Shoris. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Hamayim Bekatshazov, the water that is in that gold container, since it doesn't have the Kedusha in it, Loi Nenen, V'loi Malin. One should have benefit from it, but if he does, there's no Me'ilah. Nosna B'tzluchis, however, once it's put into the Kli Shoris, Ma'al Bahem, it becomes subject to Mila as well. On Sukkot, they would put a Aravos next to the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, a Aravos, once the Aravos is put on the side of the Mizbeach, Loi Nanin, Loi Ma'alim. One isn't over Mi'ila, but he shouldn't benefit. Why is there no Mi'ila? Because it goes back to a concept that we learned in the previous year. Ein L'chadovish Nasis Mitzvosoi or Me'alim Behem. Here, the mitzvah was already accomplished once it's put on the side of the Mizbeach. And since the mitzvah has already been accomplished, therefore, there is no Isser Me'ila, but still, Loinen. The laws of Tzadok Omer, Noihagim Hayu Zakenim, Shnenim Melovim. The Zakenim would put them into their Lulovim afterwards to use for the Dalaminim. Machloikus Rishonim, if there's a Machloikus in our Mishnah about if this was appropriate. Most Rishonim explain, the Rebbe Elazar Tzaddik said that the Zakenim did it, because since they're not Hegdish anymore, even though there's an Isser of having Hanoah, but they were being used for Mitzvah, Mitzvah Slav Lahenis Nitnu, and therefore these are Rabbis to be put into the Dalaminim of the Zakenim. The reason the Zakenim did it is because they were old, so it was hard for them to put the Aravos into, to go find new Aravos, or it was a covet that those Aravos that were used to put on the side of the Mizbeach should be used now for them to be put into Dalaminim. The Mefarshim go on to, however, say that there are Rishonim to say that there's a Machlokes here, and that the Tanakhama holds that the Zakenim did not do so, because since we're learning Loinen and Veloy Malin, so using them for your Dal and Minim is considered a Hanoah, and that's really the crux of the Machlokes Rishonim. If using them for your own Dal and Minim is considered that you're having Hanoah or not, and these Rishonim explain that according to the Tanakhama, they were not put into the Dal and Minim. Even though the Mefarshim explain that the halach is that by the Dalaminim, if you use the Dalaminim, you took the Dalaminim in the morning, you still shan't use the Dalaminim all day, the Huktzel Mitzvah site. Why isn't that the din of Aravos? Why isn't that the din by the Aravos that were used by the Mizbeach? So I saw that the Dalad Minim, you could again use for mitzvah. You could be Mekayim the mitzvah Dalad Minim all day long. The mitzvah Arava was only done once in the morning, and therefore there is no issue of Hukta L'mitzvah. Another question that I saw the Mefarshim ask is, how could the Zakenim have taken these Aravas and put them into Dalad Minim? We know that the halacha is that you have to have Lochem, and these don't belong to them. So one Teretz is that the din of Lochem is only on the first day of Sukkot. Here we're not speaking on regarding the first day of Sukkot. Another Teretz is that once the Hegdish used them for the mitzvah and have no longer any need for them, they were mafka them, and therefore the Zakenim could take ownership of these Aravas to put them into the Dalad Minim. Says the Gemara, Amrei Shlokish, Eimei Alam Bekulam, we can't, all of the water put into the keli is not subject to mila. Amrei Alam B'Shalosh Lugim. Three Lugim is the shear, and that amount of water is subject to mila. Ask the Gemara, it seems that the Gemara is saying that even when they're in this gold container, three Lugim are subject to mila. Ask the Gemara, Voktani Sefer, haven't we learned in our Mishnah, the Nosn Lutzluchas Me'alam Behem, only when they're put into the Klisharis do they become subject to mila. Mechlal the Reisha, before they're in the Klisharis, Afil B'Shalosh Lugim Namiloy, they're not subject to mila at all. Says the Gemara, Yitma Sefer Yitma. Me'alam Behem, once it's put into the Klisharis, the subject to mila, on that says Reish Lakish, Eime Alam El B'Shalosh Lugim, only with Shalosh Lugim. As a machlokes, Rishonim, how to understand what Reish Lakish means. Some Rishonim say that Reish Lakish means that unless you only have exactly three lugim is the mila, if you're going to have more or less than three lugim, there won't be any mila. Other Rishonim say that Reish Lakish means that if you put in more than three lugim, you only will have committed mila, you only can commit mila with the last three lugim. Yachin Amar, Me'alam Bekulam, you commit mila with the entire amount, even again with the pshat that we're learning, even if you put in more than three lugim, you can have mila. Ask the Gemara, remember the Kesavar Reish Lakish, does this mean that Reish Lakish holds yesh shir l'mayim, that there's a specific amount of water that should be used for the nisach hamayim? But tonight, haven't we learned in a Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, on Rav Elazar, hamnasach mei chag b'chag, if somebody does nisach hamayim on Sukkos, out b'chutz, outside of the Azara, he's chayiv karis, just like if somebody brought a carbon outside of the Azara. Vam Rav Yochanan, mishum menachem yotfa, Rav Elazar, b'shitas Rav Akiva omar. Rav Elazar is following the shita of Rav Akiva, the darish v'nesacheha, that he learns from the word v'nesacheha, the echa nesach amayim v'echa nesach hayayin, that both nesach amayim and nesach hayayin have to be performed, and since that they have to be formed on Sukkos, so that's a real avoida, and therefore the halacha is that any avoida that's done outside of the Azara is chayiv karis. V'am Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, that according to you, that are explaining that Rabbi Lazar agrees with Rabbi Kiva, that we compare and we connect Nisach HaMayim to Nisach HaYayin, we take it a step further. Ima Yayin Shloi Shalugim. When we brought the Nisach HaYayin with the carbon tamid, they brought Shloi Shalugim. Af Shir Mayim Shloi Shalugim. Mechlal, doesn't that seem to indicate the Savar Shlokish ain't Shil HaMayim? Our Gemara is saying there is Shlokish holds that you only over by nisach hamayim if you did shloish shalugim. Isn't this an indication that Reish Lakish is saying you Rabbi Yochanan hold of the rule of shloish shalugim? I do not. Answers the Gemara, Reish Lakish could agree that the shear is shloish shalugim. Ulatamidim nach yoichvan katfa kamar. Reish Lakish was speaking according to Menachem Yotfa. That Menachem Yotfa says the drasha Rabbi Kiva, that the halacha is that we learn from the Nuscheo is the din of Nisach HaMayim, which should indicate the Shloish Shalugim. Yet in our Gemara we find Rabbi Yochanan saying Me'alam Bekulam. So what Reish Lakish is saying to Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. According to you who are quoting Menachem Yotfa, you should agree with me that the shear of Me'ila by the Mayim is
Shloshalugim, not Mayalim Bekulim.